welcome to another edition of the Armchair Directors, where each episode we take a look at one of cinema's great directors and their essential films. This week on the show, we are looking at both the Westworld film from 1973 and the Westworld TV series, directed by Michael Crichton and Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, respectively. Returning on the show today to talk about Westworld is Matt Trudeau. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate you having me here.
So, one of the first questions I have on this is, which do you prefer? But I'm pretty sure I already know which one you prefer.
I prefer the show all around. But, I mean, it's not just because of the updated new technology graphics. I like the storyline better. You have a lot more time to do stuff with the show.
Yeah, but then again, one's a like short little movie.
Yeah.
And then one's this TV series that's been going on for two seasons now. So it just feels like, of course, the TV show is going to get more time to build the characters and build everything because they have more time to do it. I'm just like, a movie's, you know, you're not going to have that much time.
Yeah. Well, one, I'm not a huge fan of like old movies. Mm-hmm. You know this.
Yeah.
But then I mean, I saw the show before I saw the movie.
How was the opposite?
Two is, you're right. It's like they don't have as much time, but I wasn't a huge fan of the movie itself.
I liked it a lot more than you did. And I think when it comes to comparing, I'm going to go back and forth whether I like it more than the TV show. Because I think my biggest problem with the show is that it's really trying to be build like this massive mystery about what this place is. What's all this stuff with, you know, going on in the mines?
Like, the maze,
all these answers. And every episode, it seems like they're adding more and more and more and more and more. It's almost like they're making stuff up. Like, oh, come.
Yeah, but the movie was essentially just like, oh, we're just gonna rebel out of nowhere.
And that's like, what I liked about the movie. Compared to that, it's sometimes I think simpler is better. Just,
oh god.
There's a virus that, you know, we don't know what's going on. There's this somewhat of a virus. Actually, it's one of the first movies that ever talks about a computer virus. But there's this virus in the robots. They don't know how it's spreading. They don't know what's going on. And then that's it. Like, the robots go crazy. They start killing the hosts. I mean, killing the people. And that's your story. It's basically a survival story, a bit of a horror. And that's what I like about it. Just sometimes I think simpler is better, where it's not just, okay, now we're going to have all the hosts escape to this dimensional plane of existence where, you know, they will be left alone and nobody can reach them.
All right, take that one element out of the show, though. I understand that's a big part of the show. Well,
it was one of the big leading up to the moments.
But, like, come on, man. Like, you want to sit here and act like... I get it. They couldn't make a movie that was 2 hours, 2.5 hours. But they could have found a better way to, like, not just be like, oh, this guy has a disease too? Oh, that's weird. You know, I don't know.
Well, they do give us a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff of the, you know, all the scientists and people working on the robots, and they're running the controls and everything, and it's just sort of, you see it from their angle where they're like, something's going on, where other people are saying, you need a lot more, this place brings in money, you can't shut it down.
I also felt like, and again, this is... I don't know where we hold this, but, like, you know, because I've seen the show, you know, like, they walk into the bar, and then they go talking to that one lady, I'm like, ooh, it's May, and then it wasn't May, you know, like, so that's, like, it was constant letdowns.
Yeah, I can see
that. I didn't like the fact that the man in black was, like, if the man in black is a host, even though that would make the show really stupid at this point, because they've done so much in the, like, he's not a host stuff, but, like... making him be a host and then, like, I don't know, man, just the whole, like, oh, I'm staring at fire. Like, here's what really made me mad, right? Mm-hmm. Is, okay, I understand you look at fire, they're gonna look similar, but the structures under the fire would have looked different. So you could tell which one the guy was at. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh no. And then he's like, oops, I accidentally kicked this pot real quick. Let me just light you on fire. Like, I don't know. I had some beef with it.
Well, the casting choice of the Man in Black, that guy is Yul Brynner.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you know who he is, but his getup in this movie is exactly similar to his getup in The Magnificent Seven. He was like the main guy of the group of seven, you know, cowboys, gunslingers that fend off the village from these bandits in that movie. So that's a very famous role, and it's sort of like him coming back. And if you were, I'm not sure if you noticed, but in the first season, when Bernard is like, he's going to like this deep basement level where it's like flooded over. It's this old place they don't use anymore. If you look in the background and he's opening up some file on the computer or whatever, there's one of the robots there. And it's the Yul Brynner character. He's even got his thumb under his belt like the guy's got the cowboy hat and everything. So that was an interesting little nod to the show.
I mean, that's cool. That's fine. I like that the show went deeper into it. And I understand that they have that luxury. But then you had Thanos' dad dying, and the way that he died was just dumb. Like, not dumb, but it's just like, you know, you get hit with one bullet and you're like, I'm shot. And then you get hit with another bullet and then you're rolling across the screen. Come on, man.
That didn't bother me that much.
Of course that doesn't bother you.
Well, it's the thing. He was shocked that, you know.
It bothers you when a movie like Movie 43 comes out with genius ideas.
Well, that didn't bother me because he didn't think that the host would, like, the host or program not to harm.
No, I get that, but just drop and die. Don't stop, drop, and roll.
He's been shot 3 times.
Oh, stop. How many? Man, come on. All right. 50 Cent got shot 9 times, and he does not walk with a limp.
Okay. But
I think sorry.
You're good. Well, one of the main thing whenever I'm watching the TV show is what it's reminding me and why I'm just – I still like the show overall. It's not that I hate it. It's just that it's reminding me way too much of Lost. Now, I know you said you haven't seen the show Lost, but fans went crazy over Lost.
They had,
because there were all these things about the island, and there's still theories about what does this mean, who is this character, what happened in this past, what happened in this past. And the writers every week in that show, it's something different.
And
now there's time travel involved. Now there are these gods, spoiler alert, on the island. There are ghosts. There are these smoke monsters. It just got to the point where, like, you're kind of making this stuff up as you go along, right? And that's my biggest – that's one of my beefs with Westworld. It seems like – it's like, oh, now – you know, now this guy's a – you know, this guy's a host. And now there's a dimensional plane that they can escape to. And now there's this. And now there's that. And it just seems like – they're making it up as they go along. And compare that to, like, Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Vince Gilligan knows exactly what he's doing from the minute he started working on that show, both shows. Like, there's so, like, I don't need to repeat everything, but there's been so much foreshadowing, like that chemistry speech he gives at the first episode, the way that burnt, you know, the half-burnt teddy bear is sort of foreshadowing what's going to happen to Fring later on.
Yeah.
And just even like the, you know, even the little bit of mention of, you know, Nacho and the first time we see Saul in Breaking Bad and how that's playing into this show. So he's always building up. He knows exactly what he's going to do years ahead. And I don't see that with
not everybody's
Westworld
Vinny
show.
Gill, man. That's what I call him.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny Gill.
Good friends.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. Friend of the show. But with the show, it's a see, it, like, it just gets to me. It's like, Now the West Delos is this. Now they're recording. Now that they're monitoring,
they're getting their ancestry.com on, man.
Yeah,
that's all they're doing. You would My23 or whatever they call it.
Yeah, that's what I just. It seems like, you know. It's just like we're gonna make it up. It's like it seems like they're making it up as they go along. It's turning into Lost, where you're gonna have all these people obsess over what this means. This person's going to be a host or this person's not a host, and it's just going to be so much, and then it's just going to be ultimately disappointing, like the way Lost was at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, and if that's the case, I mean, I watched the show Dexter for years, and I ended up getting extremely disappointed by it. So, I mean, I'm not one that's like I'm going to ride with it for some time. I mean, Walking Dead, I watched Walking Dead, and for a couple seasons, I was like, ah, it's getting kind of lame. And then it's a toss-up now that's coming up. But I'm you know, and I'll tell you, whenever anybody tells me that, you know, The Walking Dead is the greatest television show, I said, you shut up. You know, like, I had extreme...
Have left, Walking Dead. Nobody, everybody just says I gave up after a while.
A lot of people do give up. I mean, there's good qualities to it still. It's still relatively entertaining. It's not as good as it was in the beginning, but, I mean, it is what it is. But I will say... You know, I mean, I still to this day have beef with the way The Sopranos ended. You know, I think that's stupid. You know, but there's people out there that will argue for days and days and days about how genius Sopranos. You know,
they
it's like
built it up. That's another thing they built up. Like even like I'm not even going to Sopranos, but like the remember one of the conversations he has with Bobby Bacala about what happens when you get whacked.
Yeah,
how they build up like even the episode before the final episode, he's remembering that conversation.
Yeah.
And there's even a hint of the season before, no. The way when Silvio is at a place and the guy next to him gets whacked and everything goes silent. So there's buildup as far as what happens.
Okay, but my this is what makes me mad. What I feel like The Sopranos did was they hedged their bets, right? They go, well, we're going to allude to that the fact that he dies, right? But in case we can get a movie out of this... You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I hate that. Give me a definitive end. The one thing about Breaking Bad, I mean, the only way for Breaking Bad to ever come back is if someone in the future ruins it by turning zombie Walter White. You know what I'm saying? Well, or a Jesse show.
There's actually been theories that Walter's not dead.
That's stupid.
They're saying that because the police arrived on time, he can survive his wounds.
Oh, no.
And even Gilligan said, you know, he might have survived. We don't know.
Yeah, he's probably trolling, man. Come on. Like, do you really think Vinny Gill will do that?
Another friend of the show.
Yeah.
Vinny Gill.
Do you really think he will?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
I feel like he had all the power in the world to eventually turn Breaking Bad into a terrible show just to make money.
Because
he decided against it at the right time. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. He goes, I'm not gonna turn this into Dexter, right? I'm gonna make this just a great show as it is. And then Better Call Saul comes around. I haven't seen the most recent episode, but I've seen the second one now. We need to talk off air about it. But the jury is still out. But in my opinion, Westworld, the TV show, is better than the movie. And unfortunately, the movie was done in 1973. It's probably a movie that shouldn't have been done in 1973.
Why are you hating on 70s movies?
I'm just, there's, in a futuristic kind of sci-fi type movie, it doesn't work out in my opinion. Western's okay.
That's one thing I know you millennials.
You millennials.
Yeah, because you're 4 years older
I'm older than,
me,
than
so
you.
I'm,
like.
let me lecture you young people about old movies, but I'm not going to fault an old movie for having not... state-of-the-art today special effects. I'm not going to fault a 1973 movie for having special effects that was state-of-the-art for 1973 and not, you know, 2013 or 2018.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fault them for that. And actually, the special effects used in this movie was actually pretty groundbreaking. It's one of the first, that
the
vision
acid.
He has.
Okay, yeah.
Is one of the first instances of digital images on film.
Yeah, it's like watching Tetris.
So it's pretty groundbreaking for 1973.
Well, fun fact of the day, did you know that in Cool Runnings, one of the guys' name was Yul Brynner?
No, did not know that.
Yeah.
Take
that to the bank.
Yeah, and it's interesting if you look about Westworld, because when I first heard they were doing the Westworld series way back in like 14 when they first announced it, I was like, oh, wow, that movie from the 1970s? And it's had this really, if you read about the backstory, it's had this really long road to this, to bringing it back. So you had the movie in 1973.
Yep.
Then they did a sequel called Future World, 1976. I think it's following up like right after that. They're trying to pick up the pieces, and they're building this other world where it's like, you know, future sci-fi-ish world. And it bombed. I don't think it did anything. But then they brought it as a TV show called Beyond Westworld in 1980. There's not a lot written about it. It barely lasted a season. So you had that. Then they were trying to bring it back into another TV show. In the 90s, it was rumored that Arnold Schwarzenegger was supposed to star in it.
And, oh, that would have been a hit.
And then they tried, you know, they were going to do it, then they backed out. Then they were approached Quentin Tarantino to front run the series. He turned him down. So it was passed around for so many years. People were trying to bring it up. It was on the Warner Brothers rights for so many years. And then they finally got it together with HBO, and they got Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy to kind of get in there, like, yeah, we'll do this. And J.J. Abrams executive produced it.
Any relation to Chris Nolan?
Yes, he is his brother.
Okay.
He has worked with him on Memento, Interstellar, pretty much a lot of the films he's done. I don't think he's worked with him on the Batman movies, or maybe just one of them, but he's done pretty much a lot, every film he's with Nolan.
Okay.
Right. And Lisa Joy is his wife. One of the things I will say is that you definitely do... Like, even the movie, I will say, it's very weak on character. I mean, it's just these two guys are just these two guys. We get some background. It's like one guy's going through a divorce, and it's just like, hey, you need to get out, have some fun.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't really dive into the backstory of them. And now, the one thing I will give credit to the show is that it does give a lot of backstory to each of the characters.
Love it, man.
Dolores, Moe.
Everybody.
Yeah, the Man in Black. And even like one of the really good episodes last year was the, you know, this guy who's just sort of been in the background all season, doesn't just sort of an extra the Indian guy.
Yes. The Native American guy.
Native American guy. And he just gives this whole backstory of how, you know, how he's, first received consciousness. And it's this mm-hmm. really powerful story. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I will give them credit on is they really, while the constant, you know, expanding of the Westworld mythos gets really irritating for me after a while, I still stay and watch and still overall enjoy it because they really build the characters.
That's what I'm saying, man. Mm-hmm. I get it. They have a lot more time, but I just like it just seemed to like in an hour and 20 something minutes, it just was like
it's a very bare bones film. And yeah. I know it's something.
Like, is this based off of a book?
No, but interestingly, they did like do like a later book adaptation of the screenplay, but that doesn't really count. But the director of this movie is Michael Crichton, and you may know him as the author of Jurassic Park.
Okay.
And he also wrote the sequel to called The Lost World. And it's interesting because that's all a theme park where, you know, dinosaurs and have this adventure of the land, land before humans came to Earth. So, like, this is like a, you know, a relived Roman and medieval and all this time. So it's interesting because you can see like sort of what, you know, there's a lot of stuff that he would later use in Jurassic Park in this movie. Speaking of like all the other worlds, that's another big thing I probably have with the show is that end of the first season, we see them going around the other parts of, you know, the labs and everything, and they find these samurais or shoguns.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's building up like it's another world. It's Shogun world.
Mm-hmm.
They've been building it up. They showed it in the trailers for the second season. We get it in the second season, and it's only two episodes, and it really didn't play. Now, granted, they'll probably go back to him in the third season, but I was a bit disappointed because you were building it up. You were ready to see like this other part of Westworld, the other area, and it's just they bring it up, and it just doesn't have that much of an effect on the overall story.
It's foreplay, my dude. It's dipping your toe in the water. That's all it is.
And like not even just that, but you even think of when the daughter of the Man in Black, we first see her, she's not in Shogun world. I think I'm just going to say India world because they're out in the Far East. Like, you can go in the jungle, you can go and do this.
Yeah.
So they're building up these other worlds, and we're still waiting. That's one of my big beefs. Like, in this movie,
they're trying to stretch this into a multi-year process. That's why I think that, like, the other dimension thing is, like, what's up with that? Because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's...
That's the only thing. But look, if they give a valid explanation to it, I've seen tons of movies and shows pass off worse explanations of things. Seriously.
Yeah. I know, but like that's one of the big like that was one of my big problems with the second season. It's like this building up of,
you know, like what if it turns into like some people off site like regain control of some of the park, so they're trying to lead them into that area so they can like capture them and fix them type deal. You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you never know. Yeah. Maybe the robots took some LSD.
And I will say this movie is the show is a hell of a lot more sympathetic to Host than the movie was. The movie was basically a horror film, especially at the end part where the man in black basically turns into like Michael Myers or Jason, where he's just stalking the guy at the end.
You know, and it's like you got the situation where it's like, you know, I love how Westworld gives you the perspective from the hosts versus this one gives you the perspective of just the regular humans for the most part, you know?
And they're not that interesting, like you said.
Yeah.
They're just regular people.
And then they just want to continue to see people's hands. It's just like, let me see your hands.
You know? That's because that's the way you know.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. But come on, you know? Come on. I want Anthony Hopkins taking shots with the one dude. You know what I'm saying? The bottom of the basement.
Yeah.
I want Delos, who, like, here's my other thing. Is like, Delos created this massive company with all this. They can build robots, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But they can't make their offices look a little bit more futuristic. I don't know. You know? You can build robots. Can't get the hands right for some odd reason. What about the feet? What about the feet? No one talks about that. I feel like feet are harder than hands.
Maybe.
You're just ignoring.
Yeah, ignoring the key elements. The key, what makes the a key movie faults. Really good.
Yeah,
what
man.
What makes a movie really good.
You know what I'm saying? I want to see the man in black. You know, it's like, I understand you toss acid on his face and he's like, and he turns real quick and then he, you know, I don't know. Yul Brynner, man. R.I.P. Or if he's still alive.
No, he's dead.
Oh, I'm just making sure. I didn't know that the Crichton guy was dead, so.
Yeah. The show, do you think the show, as far, do you think it's too twist heavy? Because there's been a lot of parts of first season and second season, and it's sort of kind of the same twist, like, no, this person's really a host. Like, spoiler, Bernard in the first season's really a host, and he was the co-founder, I forget the guy's name. What was his
Arnold.
He was Arnold. And then you find out in the set at the end of this season, the man in black might be a host.
Yeah. I mean, how I see it, most TV shows either have a bunch of twists or shocking moments, like some level of shocking moment.
Yeah.
Like Breaking Bad. Every season, there was some sort of carryover. I mean, every show, in order to get you to want to watch the next season, there's this carryover.
Good point.
Into the next season. Walking Dead, just to go back to real quick, you know, the season before, like a couple seasons ago, it was, oh, Negan got them, we're finally going to meet Negan, but they made us wait to meet Negan, and then Negan's going to kill somebody. Who's he going to kill? Then he killed them. And then this one was like, okay, Rick let Negan live, which is stupid in my opinion, but that's a whole nother topic. And then now it's like, oh, well, Maggie and Daryl might be turning on Negan. Yeah, I mean, turning on Rick. So it's like, there's that, or there's look at this, or look at that. Or, you know, it's like, you know, in Breaking Bad, you had Homeboy poisoning the kid, you know, or with the Lily of the Valley.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that. I mean, that's the most memorable one, I would say. Probably out of Breaking Bad was season 4.
Yeah, he actually did poison the kid, yeah. So give us a little bit of your thoughts about as far as what do you think is going to happen next season? Because like you said, they're building this big twist, once again, spoiler, at the end where the man in black who's been this one of the biggest... Did we ever find out his name? I forget. Does he have a name?
He's William.
William, okay.
Remember?
Yeah, okay.
Remember?
Member, but William is like, do you think he's a host, or it seems like she was prepping him to prepare a host.
I was about to say, I don't think he's a host because, like, you know, with all the, he's the guy that, like, in my opinion, he's the guy that took Westworld from just being like what it was like in the movie to like next level stuff, you know, with the consciousness and everything like that. He was almost the new Arnold in a way.
Yeah.
I think,
go ahead.
I don't know where he's going to end up and what game and this and the other. I'm for it. I don't know what's going to happen with the host entering in that little wall type deal.
Yeah. Cause that's one of the big things. Like, I don't know what they're going to do with that because that just part seemed extremely silly to me.
I think the porpoises are going to rise up.
And then also the big thing we've got to talk about is now Dolores, while her physical form is dead, she's been able to have her brain and create a host of Hale, the replicant, who was one of the big employees. She had the real Hale killed off. Now she's taking over her body. And I now wonder what's that going to do? Because I think it's implied that she still has the scans and everything of all the other hosts.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to try and bring them into the real world.
Well, what if the hosts are going to take over the park, and then they're going to take the information that Delos has and create the humans as hosts and then murder them and torture them?
Yeah, I think it was going to be something
like
that. Plug
their consciousness into that. That would be dope.
Yes, so we'll have to see.
It's a perfect example of, like, who's evil and who's not is all about perspective. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, some people are like, oh, this animal's endangered, so they keep it in a zoo, and that's nice, this and the other. And then other people are like, unlock them from the cage, man. You know, like, so it's one of those deals where, like, the hosts are bad to humans because humans believe that they're good, but the humans are the bad ones to the hosts because the hosts believe, you know,
yeah.
Like, so I'm all about that shift change, man.
That's a good point.
I also think it's a good, it's showing us that automation is going to take over. I think that's pretty much what we're supposed to take from this show.
Automation.
Seriously. I mean, you know, like, you know how everybody's got to have their political statement in shows. This is all about automation. This is all about how as soon as the further and further along we get, the less humans are going to be needed.
Good point. That's a very good point.
So, straight cash, homie.
All right. So, getting close to my questions here, is there anything else about Westworld, the movie, or the TV show that you want to bring up?
I hope we don't have to wait as long for season 3.
Now, this was a year and a half wait, wasn't it? Because it ended late 2016, and we didn't start till the summer of 18.
Yeah, so I hope we don't have to wait as long. But at the same time, I'm excited for it.
I'll definitely be checking it out.
I would love to see a new age, I mean, it won't happen for like another 20 years, but new age Westworld movie remake, you know? Or maybe they could do it in like a Sharknado type setting. Like make it a bad, cheesy movie.
Purposely dumb. There's probably something like that, I imagine.
Shark World.
Yeah, Shark World. All right. Last question I'll have is, promote all the shows and everything you got going on.
Oh, well, I have two main shows on this station. I have one that you co-host as well as Sebastian Mark, whatever his last name is, called The Benchwarmers Redemption. It's every Wednesday and Sunday. Wednesday night, it is from 6 to 7, and Sunday, I believe it's 5 to 6.
Is Sunday?
I see what you did there. This particular Sunday, I believe, is the 26th.
Okay.
and then I have the hip hop jam session with myself and DJ. I'll call him DJ. He doesn't like his full name, so I'll just call him DJ. And that is Mondays and Saturdays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Okay. Well, that wraps up this episode of The Armchair Directors. We have been talking about the Westworld film from 1973 and the Westworld TV series, directed by Michael Crichton and Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, respectively. Don't forget, you can listen to The Armchair Directors every Thursday at 9:30 a.m., Sunday at 2:30 p.m., or anytime at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com or the category Armchair Directors. Listen online at Dragon Digital Radio to hear the show a week before it's on Podbean. Matt, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thank you, sir.
For the Armchair Directors, I'm your host, Alex Baker, saying these violent delights have violent ends.